Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Relationships, love, and sex, the spices of life, driving us all and commanding the wheel, is the media darling in the complex world of human behavior. Expert therapist, author, and radio host, Dr. Jane Greer. Sit back, buckle up, and enjoy this fast-moving ride with fascinating guests. HealthyLife.net welcomes you to the Doctor On Call Hour with Dr. Jane Greer.
Hi, everybody. Helping yourself to know how is why you're here with Dr. Greer, and you're listening to the Doctor on Call Hour at HealthyLife.net. Today we're featuring PopStyke, where we chat with leading experts in the mental health and psychology field who are helping us understand about more about how our minds tick. We bring you the most compelling research and practical guidance on relationships, mental health, and addiction. It's about understanding ourselves and others. And each month we feature editors, authors, bloggers, and therapists to share the latest in the world of human behavior. Today on PopSyche, we're talking to Dr. Joan Rosenberg and Heidi Laystrom, who are both dedicated to helping others live their best lives by managing difficult feelings, by building emotional strength. Dr. Rosenberg is a highly regarded expert psychologist, clinician, consultant, and trainer, and creator of Emotional Mastery. As a cutting-edge psychologist, Joan has shared her life-changing ideas and models for emotional mastery, change, and personal growth in professional and educational seminars, therapy sessions, and graduate teaching. Today we're going to be talking about her new book, 90 Seconds to a Life You Love. So we'd love to hear all about it, and I'm delighted to be talking with you today, Dr. Joan. Welcome.
That's a treat. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You are more than welcome. So let's dive right into some of the insights that are the central premise of your book, 90 Seconds to a Life You Love. We all want that. We want to live a life that we love with people that we love, doing things that we love to do. So how do you explain the ability to manage and navigate? You talk about 8 specific unpleasant feelings that contribute to building emotional strength and resilience.
Right. So if I kind of dial it into the premise of the book, first of all, it comes down to kind of one major sentence, and that would be that if any individual or you can handle, experience and move through those 8 unpleasant feelings, which I'll speak about in a minute, then you can go pursue anything you want in life.
Wow. Well, we need to know. That's like a get-out-of-jail-free card that they gave you in Monopoly. What are these 8 feelings? And let's talk about how you do navigate them, because you're really saying if you can handle the minuses in life, you can turn them into a plus and gain resilience and stamina and strength. So let's talk about the negatives.
Absolutely. Well, actually, I don't consider them negative. I consider them unpleasant. They're never negative or bad.
Okay.
Because our unpleasant feelings exist for protective purposes, so they have information to bring us. Right. Uncomfortable, unpleasant, unsettling, unsomething, but not bad or negative. So that the ones I've identified are sadness, shame, helplessness, anger, vulnerability, embarrassment, disappointment, and frustration.
Wow. That's a mouthful. So let's start with each one of them. Why are these the ones that stand out? What about, are there any others, humiliation, disgust, some of the other things that people get caught up in? Why are these the primary ones?
What I found is that these are the most common, everyday, spontaneous reactions to things not turning out the way that one wants or the one that one believes it needs to turn out. And well, that, so that there's the reason for these eight are the everydayness of them. That these are things that we experience with great frequency, whether it's in a relationship or whether it's in pursuit of something, and tied to different kind of expectations we might have throughout any given day or week, and so it's the everyday quality. But if we don't handle them well, and we try to push them out of the way or distract from them or ignore them, then it actually creates a whole other set of problems for us. So, and what I found in my work was that if someone didn't manage these feelings well, they actually had a harder time coping with what life threw at them.
Okay, so are any of these feelings more prominent, meaning like a lot of people get angry a lot of the time on any given day?
What I would say is that people tend towards either the sad end of feelings, I call it kind of a hurt-anger continuum, and they will tend towards either an angry side of the continuum or they will tend towards a sad side of the continuum. But the ideal is that people can experience the full range without trending towards one side or the other.
Right. Well, you know, as a clinician, needless to say that anger externalized, if you let it out, you're angry at everybody else. Anger internalized, you keep it in, you're depressed, you're just angry at yourself. So those spectrums really ring true in terms of what you're describing, because those are what people vacillate between. So how do you help people? What do you think is the most important thing to gain mastery of the anger or the disappointment?
Well, so here's the thing. What I spent a lot of time trying to understand what made it so difficult for people to deal with unpleasant feelings and what was getting in the way. And when the neuroscience research started to come out in the 2000s, I was able to kind of put together kind of a few what I would consider kind of really important insights that coming from the literature. And the first is to understand that we're one interconnected whole. You know, we're not a body and a mind, and or a body and a brain. We're one interconnected whole. The brain is always feeding information to the body, and the body's always feeding information to the brain. The second most important thing that ties into that is that most of us come to know what we're feeling emotionally through bodily sensation. So if we try to dismiss our bodily sensations, like the heat from embarrassment in one's face, or it might be the butterflies in one's stomach for some vulnerability or some what people might call anxiety, or it might be heat at the back of the neck for anger, or a closed fist for anger. We have all these or a tight jaw for anger. So we have all these bodily sensations that cue us to what we're feeling emotionally. And then the third kind of major piece from this was an understanding from Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor, who wrote the book My Stroke of Insight, where she identified that there's a rush of biochemicals into the bloodstream that actually cause these bodily sensations, but they flush out of the bloodstream in roughly an upper limit of 90 seconds. So what I realized was that it was the bodily sensations that people were trying to get away from, not in quotes, kind of the emotional feeling itself.
I'm listening, and I'm struck by that, because I'm thinking of all the patients that I work with and really trying to help them manage the reaction, the angry reaction or the disappointment. They just talk about sort of being flooded, and voices,
right,
when the anger gets triggered, voices go up. You know, their partner will say, why can't you be calm? Why can't you just talk? Why do you have such tension in your voice? And they don't talk. I'm intrigued, because they're not talking about the bodily sensation. They're just sort of filled with this anger. And the same thing with disappointment. They don't talk about, oh, I feel sick, right? I feel upset. They just talk about, you know, just the sadness, the hurt, they blame themselves. I haven't heard, it's so interesting, I haven't heard people talk about the bodily component of the emotion being the problematic element for them. So it's fascinating that this is what came through.
Right. Well, so, but if you, I mean, and so the key then is that, so if I go with your example of someone feeling flooded by the anger, then the key for them to do is to kind of like riding, like surfing a wave in the ocean. It would be to ride one or more bodily sensation waves to allow that anger to subside. And you're also talking about a number of different thoughts that people are having or different experiences that people are having, like someone yelling at them, right?
Right.
And that's a whole different other thing to kind of work with.
Yeah, no, I'm talking actually more about people who are doing the yelling, that, like working with couples where one partner is more volatile and more quick, to be triggered to a loud voice or an angry voice. A lot of times people, when they get so angry, they're not even aware that their voices are going up or that their tone is becoming strained. And they're just consumed with the emotional energy of distress at whatever is annoying or angering them or frustrating them with 9 out of 10 their partner. So how do you help somebody tune into the physicality of it to move their way through that emotional distress?
Well, if someone knows that they respond in the way you just described, where they get very angry and they've been told they become more explosive or they're they start to yell or do those kinds of things. Around the anger piece, what I will tell people is that they don't get to speak until the anger subsides. That literally, they keep their mouth shut and they get used to riding the waves until the anger subsides. And then when they're on the downside of anger, that's when they can speak.
So when they move through the physical, emotional reaction of anger, the old Honeymoon show, Ralph Cramden was always exploding. And at one point he was on a mission to not react. And so he had this pins and needles, needles and pins. It's a happy man that grins. Now what am I mad about? But what you're describing, ironically, it's exactly that. It's being able to catch your breath and take a moment to back away from the intensity of the energy,
exactly,
so that you can respond to it.
Exactly. And if people can kind of take deep breaths through whatever it is that they're experiencing, whether it be the sadness or the anger or some of these other feelings that I've named, then the breathing in its own way starts to act as kind of the boat to carry the wave. So if you can take some deep, slow breaths, you stay present to the feeling, and the intensity subsides. At that point, those would be the times to then respond.
So using the breath to gain mastery and control over your physical state is really important. It's helpful.
Yes. Or I would say not necessarily control over, but it would be management of.
To manage it, right.
Right.
What about shame and helplessness? Those are humiliation, embarrassment, that pool of awfully uncomfortable to stay in feelings because you just feel so, like people don't want to stay in their skin. They don't feel good about themselves. How do you guide people through those to gain mastery over them?
Shame's an interesting one because it actually, to me, in thinking about it further, it has elements of harsh self-criticism attached to it. So, if we look at the way, psychology describes guilt and shame, guilt is I've done bad, shame is I am bad. So for me, there's an aspect of shame that I'd almost like to reconsider. because right. it has that element of harsh self-criticism to it.
Well, I must say, this is really, I'm intrigued and I'm fascinated by your work and what you've been able to discover and, you know, put together as a learning device for handling the stress of these very unpleasant feelings, which you named right on point. And I think it really offers people a handle to hold and a way to work through the discomfort of it to get to higher ground. So I thank you so much for being here with us today so that people can hear about your book, get your book. Listeners, you can learn more about Dr. Joan Rosenberg at www.drjoanrosenberg.com, and her books are available on Amazon. Joan, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a treat. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay. It was a pleasure. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, everybody, stay with us because we're going to be back in a minute for more of Pop Psych here at HealthyLife.net.
How could you do this to me? What about me? If your selfishness is ruining your relationship, or if you're trying to learn to trust after betrayal, then how could you do this to me and what about me are the titles of two separate books by Dr. Jane Greer that you should get to help improve your relationships. Imagine having a happy, loving, thriving relationship again. Get the help you need with How Could You Do This to Me or What About Me by Dr. Jane Greer at Amazon.com. Get your copy now at Amazon.com.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Dr. Jane Greer is recognized as a leading national expert in sex, love, and relationships. She's the type of person that you want to know. Filled with wisdom, kindness, and empathy, she spends her life helping people. Whether through TV appearances, on a radio show, through her books or magazine features and columns, or in person. Dr. Jane Greer's main goal is to help you. Find out more about Dr. Jane Greer by visiting her website at drjanegreer.com. That's drjanegreer.com. Hollywood. You don't have to be there to discover the inside scoop on the relationships and inside workings of the stars in showbiz or other famous people in the news. Imagine getting up close and personal as Dr. Jane Greer delves into how these celebrities are navigating their relationships with insider tips and insights that actually can help you handle your relationships better. Just go to drjanegreer.com and click on Latest News, and you'll get, well, the latest news at drjanegreer.com. The positive side of podcasts. Always have been, always will be. Uncensored, entertaining, timeless talk. HRNpodcast.com. Take a break from the dark side.
Welcome back to Pop Psych here at HealthyLife.net. I'm Dr. Jane Greer. My next guest is Heather Leigh Strom. Heather has over 30 years of experience in physical healing, and she embarked on a transformative journey to address the lingering effects of a challenging childhood that persisted into adulthood. She's unveiled the magical connection between dogs and divine intervention in her book, Canine Spirit Guides. Confirming our belief that dogs are divine messengers, she explores the specific gifts they possess for our healing and heightened awareness. She shares her own experience of instant healing from painful trauma, the dog's role in providing understanding of life's path, and the healing and spiritual enlightenment they bring beyond their earthly existence in her book, Canine Spirit Guides. Heather, it is such a pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you, Dr. Jane. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have a little dog calendar that I use every day. Every day there's a new picture of a little dog, and some of the days it has sayings. And today it says, "No animal I know of can consistently be more of a friend and companion than a dog."
Right.
So, and another one of my favorites said, "You don't own a dog, you have a dog." You know?
Yeah. They're in our lives for a reason, right?
Forever. So talk to us about some of the insights that inspired your book, Canine Spirit Guides. And Tell us about how the concept of dogs as angelic entities with specific divine gifts unfolded in your own personal experience and understanding.
Yeah, well, I didn't know any of this until I was prodded to write a book, and I'm not an author, so, you know, I'm a physical therapist. This is all new to me. And I wasn't a psychic or didn't do any energy work or anything like that before I was told to write the book. And the canine spirit guides introduced themselves to me as I was writing these beautiful stories about my own personal dogs through my life. And what I have learned and what I've been told to share with the world is that our dogs channel their own canines, their own spirit guides in essence, kind of like we have spirit guides. They have spirit guides as well, but their spirit guides are here to help humanity heal. They're not there for the dog themselves. They're here for us. So that's kind of why we're so uniquely bonded with dogs, is because they're attempting to share this really powerful healing frequency with us.
Well, that's fascinating. You know, so that I must ask you, because I wonder if you've seen this or had this experience. I've seen this occur a number of times where somebody is ill, and then the dog gets ill, and then they heal. And I've had this where people have had their dogs will be injured or will have something flare up health-wise. And it'll be happening while somebody in the family, a family member, is going through an illness, and they heal and the dog heals. It's almost as if the dog is carrying the illness to help them heal. Have you experienced that?
Oh, yeah. There's a story about that in my book. They will absorb energy, harmful energy, to try and protect us from it. And so sometimes if we've got too much energy coming in, and a lot of times our illnesses are stagnant energy trying to get us to...
Okay, Heather, we were talking, it's so interesting, about stagnant energy getting out, and the phone disconnected, so let's reconnect. I mean, you know, that was the stagnant energy saying, all right, we got to get out of here. But,
but
tell us about that. That's an interesting concept, that illness is really energy that needs to be released.
We become ill because we're ignoring this energy that needs to be addressed. It needs to be released. It needs to be expressed. And when it builds up in our bodies, it comes out as an illness or an injury or a disease. So the dogs are kind of filtering this energy for us, and sometimes they will take it on for us. I've had dogs actually get sick for me because they didn't want me to get sick.
Can you share what they got ill with or what you were protected from?
Well, I didn't know I had mold in my house. And so my dog, in the first story in my book, she was absorbing all of the mold illness for me so that I didn't get sick. And she ended up dying of it because it was too much for her to take on. So I didn't realize that until I wrote the book and she explained that to me.
That's amazing. Because, you know, a colleague of mine, they thought the dog had cancer. She was told the dog had cancer and was going to pass. And this was right at the same point that she was diagnosed with cancer. She found this remarkable, remarkable vet. And he's a miracle man who saved their dog and she healed. So, you step back and you say, huh. Her dog stepped in to help her out. And in fact, the vet, Dr. Bukoff, I have to say his name, he is so incredible. He heals through holistic means and wellness. And one of the techniques that he used, she actually applied to her own healing. So it was like the dog was her spirit guide.
Right. And a lot of times when they do this, they're distracting us from ourselves. And so as we try and help other people heal, we start to heal because that gets the energy moving.
Oh, that's so interesting. That is so interesting. So how did you experience it on a personal level for yourself?
Oh, wow. These canine spirit guides, when they came in, they healed very deeply, deeply rooted trauma, pain, karma, ancestral patterns that I didn't even know I was carrying around, that had affected me my whole life, even some past life stuff. They showed it all to me, and their technology for healing is very advanced, so it's very fast. The energy they share for healing is incredibly powerful, like nothing I've ever used before, and it's instant. Like, we don't have to work at healing. We just have to allow it and want it and say, yes, so, thank you, please.
That's fascinating. So what were you dealing with physically, and how did you recognize that the healing was there, and how did it transform you instantly?
So all of the dogs that are in the book have passed on, because this book encompasses my entire life, over 50 years of dogs. And when I was meditating to sort of channel in these guides, they would show me parts of myself that needed to be healed, whether it was a belief that I wasn't worthy, or I wasn't loved, or I was being persecuted, I didn't deserve. They would show these to me, and within that meditation, energetically, I would go into a healing experience where my body, my nervous system, my body would react. Are you there?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard you hang up.
Finish this thought. Your body would react.
Yeah. My body would physically react during the meditation, and this is as they were just moving this energy out. So there was a lot of tears streaming down my face, even though I wasn't crying. There's a lot of sounds coming out of my mouth. And as I finished this meditation, I'd come out of it, and my husband's like, "You look like you ran a marathon." What were you doing in there?
Amazing. Well, stay with us. We're going to take a break. I'm going to put a pin on that, and we're going to be back in just a minute after the break for more with Heather Lay at HealthyLife.net on healing with the spirit guides and the beauty of its dogs.
Dr. Jane Greer is recognized as a leading national expert in sex, love, and relationships. She's the type of person that you want to know. Filled with wisdom, kindness, and empathy, she spends her life helping people. Whether through TV appearances, on a radio show, through her books, her magazine features and columns, or in person. Dr. Jane Greer's main goal is to help you. Find out more about Dr. Jane Greer by visiting her website at drjanegreer.com. That's drjanegreer.com. Hollywood. You don't have to be there to discover the inside scoop on the relationships and inside workings of the stars in showbiz or other famous people in the news. Imagine getting up close and personal as Dr. Jane Greer delves into how these celebrities are navigating their relationships with insider tips and insights that actually can help you handle your relationships better. Just go to drjanegreer.com and click on Latest News, and you'll get, well, the latest news at drjanegreer.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
If there was a hotline to heaven, who would you call? In Dr. Jane Greer's book, The Afterlife Connection, you can learn to connect with a loved one who has passed, so you can say hello instead of goodbye. You'll get 7 tips for opening the channels of communication with your departed loved ones and recognize the signs your loved one sends your way. Learn how to include your departed loved one in your daily life, and you can even heal damaged relationships even after your loved one is gone. A special book by a therapist who cares, The Afterlife Connection by Dr. Jane Greer, gives you the tools for filling the gaps and creating a sense of closure. Get this amazing book today at Amazon.com. Or visit drjanegreer.com, www.drjanegreer.com.
Remember, media with integrity, www.healthylife.net.
Welcome back to Pop Psych here at HealthyLife.net. I'm Dr. Jane Greer, and I'm continuing my fascinating conversation with my guest Heather Lay Strom about the power of dogs as canine spirit guides, the incredible healing that they bring to us and are here to provide us with. And Heather, you started to talk about your own painful trauma that healed instantly with the guidance of these canine spirit guides. Did you experience in addition to the emotional distress and the meditation from feelings of worthlessness and inadequacy and, you know, some of those horribly uncomfortable feelings that plague us, what about physical health? How did the canine spirit help you transform and heal on a physical level?
So they revealed to me, I've had many physical disasters throughout my life, we'll say, some of them orthopedic, some of them diseases, and they revealed that the purpose of these conditions were to get me to change the course of my direction, so change the course of my life, make different choices that would set me in a different direction. Basically, when we become sick, we have to sort of stop and take inventory, right? And say, what's going on here? So I learned that through these diseases or illnesses that I was supposed to just stop and regather and possibly redirect what was going on in my life. And I actually ended up doing that on all of those occasions. I just didn't realize that's what was happening. So at each time, there was a dog in my life that was assisting me with that.
Can you share an example of one of those instances?
Yeah. So before we got married, I got very, very sick with Epstein-Barr virus, and I couldn't even work. I was so sick, very fatigued, lots of other neurological symptoms. And I thought, is this it? Because I went from being a professional athlete to being able to do nothing. I couldn't take my dog for a walk around the park.
And
I didn't want to live that way. You know, I'm like, what is going on here? Well, the dog that was with me at the time was a very powerful spirit guide, and he was basically redirecting my entire course of my life. So I had to change directions because everything had to line up perfectly in order for me to make the next connection I needed to make to get me to the point where I am here. And ironically, that connection ended up being the very first dog that set off this whole cascade of events to get me to this point. So had I not changed everything in my life, changed all of my priorities and my focus, I would have never made the connection I needed to get to where I am now.
Did you go through loss? Did you have to leave a job or, you know, decide not to marry your partner? Were the changes?
Well, I had to change my focus in the world because I was so focused at that moment in performance and my physical body, and I had to change that focus into my spiritual body, my ability to listen and to hear the messages that were coming through. Even though I didn't understand that's what it was at the time, I was getting callings from dogs to come and get them, and so my life went from having one dog to having eight dogs, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
And we didn't even have a house that could accommodate that, so we had to suddenly find a new home, and we just bought our current home a year ago. So my husband's like, what? You know? And I'm like, we have to do this. So I began to hear what I was being told intuitively, not understanding what it was fully. But, yes, yeah, so I had a big shift right there. And started to focus into the canines and doing training and competition with them, and that's how I found them all.
Are they rescue canines, or are they, you know?
No, they're purpose bred, but they're from all over the world.
Amazing, absolutely amazing. So now, for those who are listening and are wondering if they have a pet or they have a, you know, if they have a dog, and they're thinking, "Huh, I only thought it was a pet. Who knew he could be a healer?" My little boy is starting to get into the action.
Yeah.
How would you encourage them, or what can they do to create this bond or to tune in to know if they're getting guidance or spiritual energy from their pet so that they don't miss it? Or if they're dealing with an illness, is there a way that they can connect with their dog to help facilitate healing?
So, of course, I offer private sessions for that very thing, to get you directly into the healing portion of that without any hesitancy or process, right? The first thing that you would have to do for your personal self to be able to receive that information is you've got to go through the healing in order to, what I call dumping the tanks. We have to get rid of that negative, or not negative, but lower frequency energy that we're holding on to, because that's what prevents us from hearing what we need to hear and feel what we need to feel. and to work with the guide. So we have to remove the lower frequency so we can receive the higher frequency because it takes up space. And that's the first part of the process with how the guides work with us. And there is a handbook on my website where you can download signs of how your dog might be trying to connect you with the canine spirit guides, too.
And getting, releasing the lower vibrational energy, is that through meditation or breathing? Like, how do you suggest people do that?
Well, that's what the guides help with. When you connect with the guides, that's what they help you do instantly. And I teach a meditation program where you can learn to do the required technique to get you to that point. But that takes a lot of skill to be, you can't just sit down and say, okay, I'm ready. You have to know how to do it. And that's what I was learning to do as I worked with the guys, is a very specific type of meditation process. And that I teach on my webpage as well. And I also do it with my clients. So there's no way that I can just, you know, convey instantly over the phone, okay, this is what you do. But I would encourage people to start meditating. But I will also say I didn't ever want to meditate myself. I didn't think it would be any fun. That's not the kind of person I was to sit and be quiet, you know. And that's not how I meditate. So I would like to share that with people who think, I don't want to do that. That's a waste of time. Well, it only takes 10 minutes, and I can teach you how to do it where it's not a waste of time.
So you have a different strategy that actually accesses the canine spirit and is something that people who are less inclined to go internally or you know, subdue, if you will, that'll work.
Yeah.
Because you're absolutely right. People hear the word meditation and just get overwhelmed by that.
It's like, right. Yeah, because who wants to sit still and be quiet, right?
Right. Everybody wants to be talking and busy and going about things.
Yeah.
So
go
ahead.
My meditations are very busy. I put the mind to work, and I make it work for me. The first thing we have to do is get the ego out of the way so that we can receive, but I teach you how to do that. And the last thing I do is sit and do nothing in my meditation. So that's what I teach people to do, is to make it work to your advantage and put your mind to work. Get it to do what you need it to do for you.
You know, that actually sounds, I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but it sounds a little bit like hypnosis and self-hypnosis, because the objective with hypnosis is exactly what you just described, to occupy the ego, the conscious mind, to get your conscious mind listening either to your own internal voice or to the external voice of the hypnotist. And as you're listening and, you know, absorbed with that voice, your ego becomes connected to that, and your subconscious becomes an open vault, and that's how the hypnotic suggestions are planted and lodged in the unconscious, either through somebody else saying it to you or to you. It's exactly what you're doing, and there are a lot of inductive techniques to keep the mind busy, to get people to, particularly for people who don't relax, as you're saying, and who are not quieting their mind to be able to do so. In any event, Heather, this is so fascinating. I thank you so much for being here and sharing your information and your insight and the wisdom of the canine spirits, the canine spirit guides. And listeners, you can learn more about Heather and her books online at Heather Leistrom, HeatherLeighstrom.com. And learn how to meditate for yourself and connect with your own dog. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
You too. And when we come back, everybody, shrink wrap. You don't want to miss it.
Dr. Jane Greer is recognized as a leading national expert in sex, love, and relationships. She's the type of person that you want to know. Filled with wisdom, kindness, and empathy, she spends her life helping people. Whether through TV appearances, on a radio show, through her books or magazine features and columns, or in person, Dr. Jane Greer's main goal is to help you. Find out more about Dr. Jane Greer by visiting her website at drjanegreer.com. That's drjanegreer.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
If there was a hotline to heaven, who would you call? In Dr. Jane Greer's book, The Afterlife Connection, you can learn to connect with a loved one who has passed, so you can say hello instead of goodbye. You'll get 7 tips for opening the channels of communication with your departed loved ones and recognize the signs your loved one sends your way. Learn how to include your departed loved one in your daily life, and you can even heal damaged relationships even after your loved one is gone. A special book by a therapist who cares, The Afterlife Connection by Dr. Jane Greer, gives you the tools for filling the gaps and creating a sense of closure. Get this amazing book today at Amazon.com or visit drjanegreer.com, www.drjanegreer.com. How can you do this to me? What about me? If your selfishness is ruining your relationship, or if you are trying to learn to trust after betrayal, then how could you do this to me and what about me are the titles of 2 separate books by Dr. Jane Greer that you should get to help improve your relationships. Imagine having a happy, loving, thriving relationship again. Get the help you need with How Could You Do This to Me or What About Me by Dr. Jane Greer at Amazon.com. Get your copy now at Amazon.com.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Well, welcome back to the shrink wrap segment of the Doctor on Call Hour, where it's all about what we can learn from the trials and triumphs of not only celebrities, but all relationships. The celebrity stars shine so brightly, and we all look up to them, yet we're puzzled when they fall. So shrink wrap is here to shed light on all, and joining me now is Jay Cruz. Jay's had extensive experience as a broadcasting professional, and he's used his background and experience to help produce, coach, and further the positive vision of Healthy Life Radio and its numerous shows. And, Jay, we're going to talk about today Andrew Hsu and Marilee Feibig, I think I'm pronouncing her name right, who are a recently confirmed couple that were seen together following their respective splits from Amy Robach and T.J. Holmes. And their new romance has been verified shortly after Robach and Holmes refuted their own allegations of cheating on their spouses, quote-unquote, during the premiere episode of their Amy and TJ podcast. And apparently, they found, Andrew and Marilee found common ground in the shared experience of separating from their respective partners of more than a decade. So it's an extremely interesting plot twist. What do you make of it?
Well, first of all, welcome and happy 2024, Dr. Jane.
Thank you, and right back at you. Here's to a happy and healthy 24 for everybody out there. Here's to more.
Absolutely. And I think it really centers around the shared experience, I believe. You know, they compare notes, and, you know, they come up with a few things that were, similar, or, you know, feelings that they certainly shared. And, you know, through that experience, I think they're both being maybe open and more vulnerable than some people are, because they're just in that space where they were just, the infidelity factor that just was, you know, confirmed with them. It's, you know, like, no matter who you are, when that happens, it hurts, even if there's, you know, issues in the relationship and maybe there's one or two partners looking for a way out. Regardless, it's a sting. So I think they're both open and very honest and vulnerable and shared what was going on between the two of them. And obviously they, you know, came to a mutual, some kind of appreciation, and that grew from there, I believe.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, it reminds me of Shania Twain and her new husband. Actually, it's the same thing that she went through is what this couple went through. Shania, when her husband was cheating on her with her best friend, apparently Shania and the best friend's husband then hooked up to, you know, deal with their mutual pain. And both were in such a similar situation that they could really feel each other's pain and understand it. You know, sometimes you need the understanding of somebody who's actually lived through or gone through what you're coping with to feel that they really know the magnitude of your grief and your hurt and your devastation. And in the comforting of each other, you start to find yourself bonding and feeling cared for and cared about and supported, all the ingredients that go into a loving relationship. And so that's exactly apparently what Andrew and Marilee had, that they were both going through it at the same time. It also reminds me of Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton, that although they were not respectively with each other's ex-partner, they both met at a point in their lives where they were just, I mean, betrayal, I've dealt with so much in infidelity. It's just, it's devastating. There's no other way to describe it. You find out that your partner, who you thought was loyal and loving and caring and had your back, and most importantly, that you can trust them, you find out that they've been lying to you and they've been, you know, cheating, and particularly to find out with whom, like with Gwen Stefani, it was with their nanny. The magnitude of that betrayal is immense. And the pain and the embarrassment and the humiliation that people go through, I deal with this with all my patients a lot, they just feel so mortified that somebody saw their wife with another man, or they saw their husband with, you know, another woman in places that they go. They feel like they've been made to look like the fool, and they feel foolish and stupid and ignorant, and how did they not know? And this whole, you know, scope of painful emotions, what we were talking about in the first part of the show, the, you know, these eight uncomfortable feelings, they're so hard to bear. You know, people just want to stay in bed forevermore. So if you are going through it with somebody who's walking the fire with you, walking the coals with you, it's understandable that you start to share that common experience, and in the sharing comes the caring. And, you know, Gwen and Blake have both said respectively many, many times, you saved my life. And I think that's how people feel. I would imagine that Andrew and Marilee in their relationship and in connecting with each other, and they knew each other before because they were all friends, felt that, you know what, you're saving me, you're saving my life. And so it does happen.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a huge part of it. I mean, you know, infidelity and breakups happen, you know, every single day of the week, every year, every day. And, you know, not everyone gets a chance to, you know, they're also kind of serving as each other's, you know, essentially friend and therapist at the beginning. You know, obviously there's the common thread of their partners were the ones who cheated on them specifically. So, you know, there's a lot more of that to talk about as opposed to the person who maybe just was on the wrong end or the sad end of the infidelity and, you know, ends up alone in a relationship and doesn't have a therapist, counselor, or even a good friend to just, you know, chat things out and let their feelings out, you know, where they were able to sort of, you know, be each other's friend and companion. And, you know, through sharing stuff like that, that's how, you know, openness and intimacy begins. And, you know, they're obviously you know, knew each other before, so there's some familiarity, but, you know, the healing process that they share and needed, you know, essentially can open up this path where, you know, a lot of times when people are, you know, cheated on, sometimes the first reaction is to go out and go out with somebody themselves, you know, just to go out and sort of rekindle the fact that, you know, hey, someone else out there likes me. Someone else finds me attractive. Someone else would be willing to be with me right now when you maybe feel at your lowest, that you were, you know, in a marriage relationship and all of that, and then someone just went out with someone else. So.
Yeah, but Jay, you're so right, because one of the hardest blows in infidelity is feeling so, not just rejected, but rejected sexually and in terms of your desirability and being attractive. So people's self-esteem gets just so demolished. And for somebody to find you attractive and appealing and interesting and desirable is such an elixir for your heart and your soul when you go through such a, you know, just damaging experience like this. So that you don't remain feeling like you're damaged goods and your partner threw you out with the garbage. And I think that plays, you're exactly our point, it plays such a powerfully positive role in recuperating and coming back from betrayal of this kind of magnitude.
Yeah, And I just want to throw in a comment on the Shania Twain thing. I happen to see a photo of her and her current husband. I guess they've been together about 13 years. And it did remind me of the infidelity that happened. Her husband is a highly successful music producer, but, you know, when it comes to relationships, he didn't seem to be that good at it because, you know, that's a time when, I mean, you know, she was literally top of the world. Yeah, he helped produce and whatever musically he did, but that doesn't give him a go out and cheat with my best friend and our nanny card, you know.
You're so right. It makes me think a little bit of the When Harry Met Sally dynamic, because when people are friends
mm-hmm.
and share so much emotional intimacy, and there's this sort of low-grade attraction on the back burner that's there, when a crisis comes along, that flame can erupt and go on to a high flame. And it seems like certainly that's what happened to Shania and her friend's husband, she married. And I mean, she even said at the time, she literally lost her voice when she went through that excruciating experience, because so much of yourself gets lost when you are, you know, recovering from, when you're the one who's betrayed. I don't want to say victim, but when you're the one who's betrayed, you just lose so much of yourself in the process.
Absolutely.
And it is a rebuilding and a reclaiming of oneself. So when you're going through it with somebody who's in the same boat, that old group dynamic, we're all in this together, really comes alive. And I think that's what we saw with them. And so here's to the best for the two of them as well, because they are certainly making their way back to higher ground.
And, you know, for anyone going through issues right now, hope it works out, or if it ends up, you know, a breakup, hopefully brighter days are ahead. And, you know, happy wishes for everyone in their love, their affairs, the relationships and everything for 2024. Thanks for having me on the show today, Dr. Jane.
Beautifully said. And thank you for joining us always with another insightful conversation on the trials and triumphs of celebrity relationships. Join me next month, everybody, for a new episode of the Doctor on Call Hour with more fabulous guests. Be sure to visit me online at www.drjanegreer.com, where you can get my new book, Am I Lying to Myself? How to Overcome Denial and See the Truth, also available on Amazon. Follow me online at drjanegreer.com for relation tips and advice. And thanks for listening, everyone. Remember, you can always get what you want when you're in the know.
Hollywood. You don't have to be there to discover the inside scoop on the relationships and inside workings of the stars in showbiz or other famous people in the news. Imagine getting up close and personal as Dr. Jane Greer delves into how these celebrities are navigating their relationships with insider tips and insights that actually can help you handle your relationships better. Just go to drjanegreer.com and click on Latest News, and you'll get, well, the latest news at drjanegreer.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Dr. Jane Greer is recognized as a leading national expert in sex, love, and relationships. She's the type of person that you want to know. Filled with wisdom, kindness, and empathy, she spends her life helping people. Whether through TV appearances, on a radio show, through her books or magazine features and columns, or in person. Dr. Jane Greer's main goal is to help you. Find out more about Dr. Jane Greer by visiting her website at drjanegreer.com. That's drjanegreer.com. How could you do this to me? What about me? If your selfishness is ruining your relationship, or if you are trying to learn to trust after betrayal, then how could you do this to me and what about me are the titles of two separate books by Dr. Jane Greer that you should get to help improve your relationships. Imagine having a happy, loving, thriving relationship again. Get the help you need with How Could You Do This to Me or What About Me by Dr. Jane Greer at Amazon.com. Get your copy now at Amazon.com.
Thank you for joining Dr. Jane Greer for Doctor on Call. Listen to this episode again anytime on on demand at healthylife.net. Keep up with Dr. Jane Greer's social media, blogs, magazine articles, books, and guest appearances at her website, drjanegreer.com. Dr. On Call with Dr. Jane Greer is produced and syndicated by healthylife.net. All positive, Web Talk Radio.